Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. A busy show today. Lots to reflect on. Gab Marcotti will be here a little later on to look back at Napoli booking a place in this year's Coppa Italia final. Don and Shaq are also looking back at what happened in the Bundesliga today. But we start in La Liga, the first game for Barcelona after the break, away against Mallorca. And this was very, very comfortable for the league leaders. A 4-0 victory over Mallorca. Lionel Messi with two assists and a goal as well right at the end, putting Barca 5 points clear at the top of the table. We welcome to the show Ali, Jules and Craig. Craig, let's start with you. Easy peasy.
Well, it was in the end, but I mean, there were periods during that first half where actually Mallorca played some good stuff and had some chances. So, and that was after going behind, you know, to that very early Vidal goal. So they had to weather, I wouldn't call it a storm, but they had to weather some possession and a little bit of pressure. But ultimately, that quality came through in the end. And, you know, Messi got 90 minutes in. Suarez got some game time off the back of the injury before the lockdown. So really, the message being sent to Real Madrid is that, you know, you're going to be chasing us.
All eyes on Messi, inevitably, around the world, Ali, and a goal at the end, couple of assists, lovely jubbly.
Yeah, and maybe it's the perception that you get in watching on TV and the guy doesn't have a beer anymore and you think, has he lost some weight? He looks a little lean, he looked fresh, he looked lively. A couple of turnovers in the first half that you may have said, come on now, Leo. Don't do like Ronaldo yesterday and have a nightmare. Well, he didn't quite have that. He was actually very good and finding vertical passing, movement with and without the ball. Of course, assisting in the couple of goals that you just mentioned, got a goal of his own. And there were a lot of things to like about his game. And most of all, the fact that he gets through the 90 minutes, he gets his fitness in. You get a rotation of players in and out that is important for Barcelona, given the amount of games that they have coming up. Luis Suarez comes off the bench. He also looked lively and fresh and ready and fit, ready to go. You get a goal from Braithwaite. That's important as well, just as to have an option if Suarez is not available. There are a lot of positive things here for Barcelona, but I'm with Craig in saying that there were lulls in the game for Barcelona that allowed Mallorca to grow into some sort of confidence. But here's the thing, and here's the reality and the truth about Mallorca. They're in the relegation zone because of a reason. And the truth is that they don't really have the quality to threaten in the final third. Other teams may have caused some more problems today for Barcelona. Mallorca not good enough to do so, and Barcelona in the end walk away with a 4-0 win.
Jules, we talked about Martin Braithwaite a lot, didn't he, when he made that controversial move to Barcelona away from Leganés because of the injuries within the Barca squad, getting his first goal today. He didn't really celebrate it. I was like, oh, it's his dream come true. It's almost as if he couldn't believe it.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe because it was, in the end, quite an easy finish for him. He hits it well on the half volley, but he's quite close to the goal and there's not much of a defending on him. But yes, it was a bit surprising, maybe as well because of the whole context, and maybe he was just the one who was told don't celebrate, so he didn't celebrate compared to others. I don't know, but it's good for his confidence for sure, even if he still it could be weird to people that he's the starter in that team compared to the rest of the team. But he did his job today. I thought he fought hard. He brought some movement in. He clearly had a lot of desire and motivation. It's not enough, but for a game like today when you haven't played for 3 months, I think that's really helpful for your team.
The key,
I hated this transfer, Dan, and I was watching this game and I thought, I know it's not happening, but I thought, you know, is it right? We discussed it at the time. Was it right? Well, it was right within the way the laws are written in Spain, but morally, I think it was morally corrupt. And I was watching it today, and it's nothing against Martin Braithwaite, but should this transfer have stood, bearing in mind the pandemic that we've gone through and the reasons for that he was brought into the club? And that is, they didn't have enough fit players. Well, that has gone away with this pandemic in the main. So therefore, it is definitely an unfair advantage for Barcelona now to have an extra body, plus those players that were injured, fit for the rest of the season. There you go. There's my Martin Braithwaite, Barcelona moan, straight out the gate.
Now, are you going to moan about the fake fans as well, Craig?
Why, are you not been following my Twitter feed today?
I muted you a while ago.
You're not alone. Well, that's fine. That's fine. I'm blocking you. That's it. I'm telling you now, you're getting blocked.
Oh, what a...
I liked it. I really like, and I hope other broadcasters take, and I don't know, I don't know where it comes from. I don't know where they generate this from, I'm being honest, but I hope other people, I do hope other leagues try and generate this visual, because I think, like the sound being pumped in, it's far from ideal. But when we talked about it with the Bundesliga very early on, it took the edge off it. I mean, there was only Jan Agafjordov didn't like it. You know, but that tells you all you need to know about the Norwegians, didn't it? They're hard to please. But here we had, looking at a stadium, and we had the virtual fans. It just took the edge away. It took the empty seats away, and aligned to the little bit of noise that was coming through. I think, in my opinion, it actually felt more like a competitive game than it would do with no noise, and you can see all the seats in the stadium. So I gave it a big thumbs up.
Wow, there you are. What a moment for them.
Wow.
It's a computer-generated fan. It was a real fan who actually came on. A pitcher later came on in the second half to take a selfie. We saw that. Ali, these fans, it kind of works, doesn't it? If you're a Premier League and you're watching, you're saying, right, yeah, we're going to use fake fans and fake sounds because it looks a lot better.
Yes, it does. And as you're focusing on what's going on out on the field, all you see from your peripheral vision is just essentially that, just virtual fans. It's just, but you sense that the fans are there. Now, of course, they're fake. Of course, they're computer generated. But I think it does add to the TV experience. It only gets a little bit weird when they cut out to a different angle, and then you notice, well, the stadium is empty. It is completely empty. There is nobody there. And so when you go into replay or you see a different angle or the opposite angle and you see the whole stadium empty, you're like, it's just a subtle reminder that, oh, wait a minute, there's nobody here. I think overall you enjoy the fact that it does create an atmosphere, it does create an environment, and I'm all for it. Whether it's computer generator or they have cardboard or whoever they have out there, as long as it doesn't look empty, I'm all for it.
Jules?
I agree with the boys, and I know the Premier League are looking at all options possible, all the clubs in the Premier League and in the Championship as well, to try to make the game a bit better to watch. And I think you can't blame them for that. Maybe it's not of the taste of everyone, maybe, but you can't blame people for trying to make it a bit more enjoyable for us to watch in front of the television, to be more presentable. So you try the noises, you try the virtual fans, the cardboards, the banners, the flags, anything you want, really. You can't blame people for trying. We know it's not football like we would like it to be, but at least they're trying. And in that case, I thought it was good as well, like the boys did.
Rian,
Dan, yeah, Dan, go on, hey, Greg. Listen, just quickly, if we do one more show during this lockdown and Julian Laurence's batteries, power battery goes, we're going to have to get a virtual Julian Laurence on this bloody show because I'm fed up with it.
It's not my fault. Come on.
We had to stop down because Jules's mic stopped working because he forgot to charge it. And this has been a continuous theme for a very long time. Forgot his lights, forgot to charge them, forgot to charge his camera. You think Jules would be the sensor one out of all? Stevie Nichols has been more technically sound than you have been, Jules, throughout this show.
Controversy.
Craig, are we in a situation for Real Madrid? They've got to win every game going in, even though it's just, 5 points now, 2 points overall.
Yeah, absolutely. You're chasing and you know that. And whilst they'll be big favourites, of course, in tomorrow's game, it's always better, in my experience, to have the points on the board and be sat at home, chilling out, relaxing, watching the game, and see if they're going to drop points, see if they're going to have a bad game, see how fit they are, see what the nerves are going to be like after this shutdown, and all those sort of scenarios. It is much better to be playing ahead of the game and getting the 3 points in the bag, which is, of course, what Barca have done. So Real Madrid know that. They know they're chasing their tail, but they should have they should have a fully fit squad up to speed, and we'll get a good look at them tomorrow.
Jules and Ali, thank you very much. Just a reminder, we will be looking back at Real Madrid against Eibar tomorrow. Be sure to join us.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
No change then at the top of the Bundesliga after today's results. Bayern Munich remain 7 points clear at the top after a late winner against Borussia Mönchengladbach, beating them by 2-1, meaning one more victory for the defending champions will once again see them crowned champions of Germany. For Borussia Dortmund, they left it late as well. A 1-0 win over Dusseldorf thanks to Erling Haaland. We'll talk about that in a moment, but Craig's still with me as Shaka and Don joins us as well. Don, for Bayern, of course, no Thomas Müller, no Lewandowski, no Alphonso Davies, and it showed, didn't it?
It did. Maybe they were a little bit leggy after the game against Eintracht a couple of days ago, and they didn't start the game well. Gladbach were really, really good inside probably 20 minutes, 30 minutes of the game, but I just felt, you know, with no player, and then Thuram got taken off through injury, I thought the more the game went on, it was almost like Gladbach had no hope. And you could see in their style of play, they were just hanging on for a point. And you just thought it was inevitable. They've been doing it lots of times this season, Bayern. When they don't play well, they've got that gear, they've got that belief, they've got that confidence and arrogance, where they know they're going to get the job done. And that man, Leon Goretzka, who's in unbelievable form, got their winner. And it was another strong-ish Bayern performance with, as you said, 7 or 8 of their top first-team players.
Goretzka's looked good, hasn't he, Craig?
Yeah, he is a good player. And, you know, the one thing he is, and I kind of, you know, I get frustrated now when we talk about an attacking midfielder and a defensive midfielder. And he's someone who goes back to, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago when he does everything. You know, he can make the tackles, he can get back and defend alongside Kimmich, but he gets in the box. And he times his runs well. And as a midfielder, you got to be a goal threat. And he certainly is. He could get more of his quota of goals. But I certainly think with his physicality and his timing of his runs, he's a very good player. Look, Bayern Munich were far from the best. The two changes were enforced in terms of the suspensions to Müller and Lewandowski. It must have been a rest for Alphonso Davies. But don't forget, Gladbach got a goal that was, you know, it was borderline offside. And then Embolo missed a great chance when he came on. On top of that, the two Bayern goals had a huge element of luck. Sommer's with a mistake, good finish from Zirkzee. And then the Goretzka winner came about from a pass that wasn't meant to be for the fullback. So it wasn't great, Dan, but they're going to win the league no matter what.
Yeah, for Gladbach, they looked all right at the start, and then you got Sommer making that mistake, Shaq, and goalkeepers.
Yeah, Sommer, I knew you'd go there. Listen, that's how Sommer plays. He plays on the edge. He wants to pass the ball out to the back. Even after the mistake, that didn't stop him any. And that's just the risks that come with playing that style of football. But Gladbach, we're looking good, as you rightly say. They're in a race to finish in the Champions League spots. Leverkusen behind them just in goal difference now with a game in hand. And the importance of the game, the difference in importance to the two teams, showed. Bayern's quality eventually shone through.
I tell you might be able to find the odd little grey hair in Xhaka, mate. But I tell you what, if he'd have been playing now for some of these teams, he would have been looking like Fabrizio Ravanelli in the top of his head, because they're all, that's all they're doing. You watch Neuer, you watch all these goalkeepers, you watch Ederson at Man City, you saw Sommer there. I mean, they're playing the ball out from goal kicks to players that are 5 yards from them. And then when they're pressurised, they're playing it back to the goalkeeper half the time, who stood in his 6-yard box, and he's having to deal with it. Now, this wasn't one of those occasions. This was a proper mess from Sommer. But that's what these goalkeepers have been asked to do more and more and more. And when you do that, unfortunately, mistakes will happen. And this was one of those occasions.
What's your own goal tally like, Don? Could Pavard have done much about the opener?
He could have done. He could have went with his left foot for a start. I mean, he went with his wrong foot. You're always taught when a ball's flashing across the 6-yard box to try and go with your back foot, because then you've got that extra sort of second to try and judge the ball coming across, and you can try and open the face of the foot and try and get height and distance on it. So I think he panicked slightly. And what he was trying to do, he was trying to go with his stronger foot, which was his right foot. He knew there was obviously a player behind him. But when he sees that back again, he'll be thinking, why didn't I clear that with my left foot?
He made amends, though, of course, the assist for the winner. Meanwhile, Borussia Dortmund with that late win. Erling Haaland, who missed the last couple of matches through injury, came on as a substitute, scored. Great header to clinch the 3 points. Here's what he had to say after the game.
Yeah, I knew that the team needed something up front, and I was just waiting for the for my chance, and I got it luckily in the end, and it was a goal, so very nice.
So the victory was a bit lucky because the goal was so late, and you had some difficulties as a team.
Yeah, you know, we had some chances, and they also had some chances, so. You can say lucky, I don't know, I don't want to put any words on it, but 3 points is very nice.
Craig, proper header, his first ever in professional football.
Well, yeah, and it won't be his last, will it? Let's be honest. You know, for one so physically strong, it's going to be a forte of his. And we've seen some of the great goals that he scored as a youngster already in the composure, and that's just another facet to his game. Look, I'm slightly falling out of love here with Borussia Dortmund because they blew it. They blew it in their home game against Bayern Munich. And that was the only thing that was going to keep this title race going. So, you know, whether he scores another 4 or 5 goals between the end of the season, for me, it's neither here nor there, whether they finish second, third or fourth. The title's gone. And that was the big thing for Bayern Munich and Haaland and his teammates. And I know he's only a young man, but it was to keep that title boiling, to keep that race going. And they weren't good enough. And ultimately, whatever they play for now is just second best.
I may have misread the statistics. His first header for Dortmund, Don. An impressive one for a man, obviously, who's missed out last couple of matches. But a frustrating end to the season, as Craig says, for Borussia Dortmund, who were lucky to win today.
Yeah, that's what Dortmund do to you, Dan. You, when you watch Dortmund over the years, you always think it's going to be their season. They continually let you down every single season. They just can't get over the line. And it's the hope that kills you. You know, when you're watching a side that you think are so good and so young and so energetic, and you know, their goal tally every week, they seem to smash teams for fun. And all of a sudden, they get towards the latter stages when it really matters, and they play Bayern and they play some of the bigger sides. They can't get the job done. They sort of fold under the pressure, because we all know when we watch Bayern Munich, 9 times out of 10, they're going to win. They've just hit 10 in a row. And you know somewhere along the line, Borussia Dortmund have a loss in them. They'll probably have one in a couple of weeks' time when they play Leipzig. So something needs to improve, whether that's the players on the pitch, whether that's the manager getting more funds to spend top players. They certainly mustn't sell, but something in their DNA has to change.
Shaq?
Yeah, listen, I sympathise with the position that Dortmund have all of a sudden found themselves in. The title is over. They're not going to finish outside the top four, which means Champions League qualification is guaranteed. And as a result, most of those players have their bags half packed, waiting for whenever these summer holidays come along. I'm with Craig here. This was blown a few weeks ago in that game against Bayern Munich. Once that was done, you knew the title was over. I know not mathematically, but you can tell in the performances. And that's what you've seen from Dortmund, including against Dusseldorf, who are in the bottom three. And as much as you can point to Guerrero's disallowed goal, I'm not sure if it was handball. I just expected so much more from Dortmund all this year.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. More from Shaka and his new haircut and Don on Extra Time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel. Napoli booked a place in this year's Coppa Italia final after a 1-1 draw at home against Inter was enough to see them go through 2-1 in aggregate. Good game this. Christian Eriksen scored early from a corner, Ospina making the mistake in goal, but he made up for it. A couple of key saves, also a great assist which eventually led to the goal. Insigne playing into Dries Mertens, who made it 1-1 just before the break. Inter had their best chance. Eriksen saw his shot saved by Ospina late on, so it is Napoli who advance. Gab Marcotti with me to reflect on this game. Compared to yesterday, Gab, which was a bit of a disappointment, this was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, as the saying goes, a goal will go and open up a game. I think it also helped that, you know, Inter, who obviously needed to score, didn't have their center forward sent off foolishly after 17 minutes. I think that was a big part of it. But yeah, we saw the game plan early on. Napoli one goal up from the first leg, so they set up to soak up pressure, to hit on the break. initially, and then in the second half, they, you know, they sent on Fabian Ruiz, and they got a little more involved. I thought Inter, I mean, Antonio Conte made this point after the game, they created the better chances, but Ospina, apart from the horrendous blunder on the goal, had a really good game. I think Lautaro and Lukaku probably not as sharp as they were, you know, earlier in the season. But overall, I thought Inter the better side.
Ospina, very much the difference between the two teams overall. You mentioned Lautaro Martinez, who we've spent years, it feels like, talking about a move to Barcelona. Lukaku as well. That was kind of key today. Ospina did make those two big saves, but apart from that, he wasn't really troubled too much, particularly from those two.
Yeah, I mean, Inter did get the ball into the final third. I thought, you know, Eriksen, who played, I think, for the first time really under Conte, you know, very much starting a game in the hole. Conte had pains afterwards to say, look, it was a 3-4-1-2 system. And you can blame Eriksen, if you like, for the goal that Inter conceded with Insigne basically, you know, running right past them off of Ospina's reset. But I thought, you know, Eriksen turned on the light, and certainly Inter dominated the midfield in the first half. In the second half, after Ruiz came on, I think that changed the balance a little bit. Players also got tired. But look, I mean, in the end, Napoli had their game plan. They stuck to it. They executed well. And they got a tremendous performance, I thought, at the back from the two center halves, Maksimovic and, as ever, once again, Koulibaly.
Not much time for them now to prepare for the final, which is, of course, midweek against Juventus in Rome.
Yeah, and look, I mean, people on paper, people who don't pay too close attention will say, oh, well, you know, Juve got this on the in the bag because they always win. Well, I think there's a slightly different feeling about this. One thing that we've seen just over these two games, but we've seen it a little bit in other leagues too, is that a lot of times it's the lighter, smaller, more agile players who get into match fitness quicker. And certainly at Napoli, with the likes of Dries Mertens, and by the way, we haven't mentioned this, we should mention it, he is now Napoli's all-time leading goal scorer and is likely to put pen to paper on the contract he's agreed to stick around, which gives everybody a boost. But, you know, with Mertens, with Insigne, with Callejon, they have more of those types of high-quality players who, you know, it only takes them a couple chances to go and create a goal-scoring opportunity. So I think in some ways, if Gattuso sets up the same way, the onus is going to be on Juve. And as we saw against Milan, you know, Juve have major issues, I think, in the middle of the park. Cristiano didn't have his best game playing as a center forward. Neither did Dybala either, frankly. So Sarri's got a whole bunch of things to tweak between now and Thursday. I think this is going to be a close-fought game.
Gab Marcotti, thank you very much. More on Gab for the team looking ahead to that cup final on the latest edition of the Serie Awesome podcast, which drops on Tuesday.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at Napa Online, you can count on Napa know-how.
Interesting stuff from Leonardo, PSG sporting director. In an interview, he confirmed that both Thiago Silva and Cavani will be leaving at the end of the season, but hoping that he can keep hold of them until after the Champions League. Meanwhile, yesterday we talked about the possibility of Allegri maybe taking over from Thomas Tuchel. Leonardo said, "I spoke with Tuchel. He knows everything. All is clear. There is nothing with anybody." Julianne Laurent with us. Jules, is that it? End of story?
I think it is, and we mentioned it, on, like as you said on the show yesterday, there've been rumors in France, in L'Equipe newspaper, for example, that Leonardo and Allegri were talking, that Leonardo really wanted Allegri to take over, but we said that Tuchel would stay another season, probably because of the pandemic, or at least that didn't really help the case if the club had wanted to sack him for next season and bring Allegri in. So he would be there, and Leonardo confirmed that today in that interview he gave to Le Journal du Dimanche, the French newspaper. And like you said, he also confirmed that both Cavani and Thiago Silva, which we knew already and we reported on Thiago Silva last week, were going to leave at the end of the season, at the end of their contract. When they're free, the contract won't be renewed, which is the end of an era very much for both of them. One stayed 8 years, the other one seven. They really marked the club's history. Thiago Silva, obviously, as captain and one of the best defenders, if not the best defender in PSG's history, and Cavani as the club record goal scorer as well. So it's a big decision. I think it's the right one, and Leonardo confirmed it all today.
Julian Laurent, as always, thank you very much. Now, keep up to date on where Thiago Silva and Cavani might go. Be sure to click on Transfer Talk over on the website. Thank you also to everybody else who's been on today, Gab, Craig and Ali. If you want more from Don and Shaka, be sure to stay tuned. Is there an extra time? Welcome into Extra Time. Don is with us and Shaka, the hair has gone, man. People will be disappointed they liked it.
No, they didn't.
They did.
Nobody liked that. No, they didn't.
I heard they did.
It was
did.
Horrendous. No. Nobody liked that. It had to be done.
I think there was a push for you to start picking it and really go for it.
No, there'll be no such push.
Right then. Now that football has returned, when will Shaka's power rankings finally make its glorious comeback? Oh, that's what goal is, really. No.
There's something the public have been yearning for.
Yeah.
Mind the afro. Don't know. Let's let everybody have a game back. So
Friday?
Shall we say?
No, next Monday maybe, yeah?
Not this Friday, then the next week.
Next week? Have there ever been any clauses in your contract with a club that you wish you could have renegotiated, removed, inserted after you'd already signed? Hammer of the Year bonus would have been good for you, Shaq.
It sure would have been.
Yep.
A clean sheet bonus that year. So that year, 1999, I think only Arsenal and Man U may have kept more clean sheets than West Ham. But we conceded more goals than we're about fifth worst in goals conceded. So figure that. We kept a lot of clean sheets, but when we conceded a lot.
Did you have a clean sheet bonus, Shaq?
No.
Ever? No, not at all. It wasn't a thing.
I think I may have had one at Pompey, but not before.
How much would it have been for?
I think around £1,000 a clean sheet. Somewhere around there.
What are you laughing, Don?
That's pointless of asking for that, isn't it? Not the goals he was letting in.
It was all right. I took such a big pay cut coming from West Ham that I had to kind of shoehorn something in somewhere. And remember when I went there, we were in the championship, so I kept a few clean sheets. It's all right.
Yeah, Maserati, baby. Mm-hmm. Don?
No.
I've never had any whatsoever. I didn't think of sort of getting any in because I wasn't really a prolific goal scorer. I wasn't someone that really got tons of assists. I couldn't have a clean sheet bonus because I was a number 8 box-to-box player. So I was just happy just to sign the 4 years and move on because someone reminded me the other day on social media that I've not played more than 100 games for any of my clubs.
Wow.
Which is astonishing. So I must have just took the money after 2 or 3 years and just moved on 10 times.
Oh, people really didn't like you.
Yeah. When you make the kind of money that Don does, yeah, you don't get any more clauses than that.
Yeah, that's true. Shaq, was that your alarm going off? What was it reminding you of?
I'm doing a talk shortly.
Are you, Shaq?
Mm-hmm.
About Maseratis?
No.
If you
that's all I'm offering.
If United signed Sancho and Van de Beek, will they be title contenders, Don?
No, I mean, they'll be closer. I mean, I love Van de Beek. I think he's a terrific player. He reminds me of my mate Frank Lampard, gets goals from midfield. And Sancho could be a potential world beater, but I think they need a little bit more than that. I just think the dilemma and the fascination with Man U at the minute is what's going to happen with Paul Pogba and Bruno Fernandes. Are they going to be playing as a pair? Is Pogba going to be sold on? I think they need more than them two, but that would be an unbelievable start.
Dan, just a minute. I mean, I know between now and the end of the summer, every time Manchester United are linked with a player, we're going to get asked this exact same question. Does that mean they're going to be title contenders? Can we just record one segment now, say no, and just roll that every single time it comes up?
Problem is, Shaka, appearances. It depends what's in your contract. This is it, isn't it? Don is paid by his appearance. You're full time, so for you it works. For Don, not so much. So
yeah, again, that's right. I've got the Hutchison deal. You call that the Hutchison clause?
We asked this yesterday to Frank and Craig. So let's ask it to you boys. Were you friends in your playing days? Was there ever a team or opponent that you despised your playing days who would later in life become a friend of yours?
Do you want to take the lead? Do you want to take the lead on that, Shaq?
Craig Burley? How's that? That's about all. That's
about but you were friends during your playing days. Now, not so much.
I think Robbie Savage for me. No? He surprised me, Robbie Savage, because he was one of them players that you just despised playing against every single week because he was mouthy, he was in your ear, he was just sort of ratting around your feet. We all give a little bit of verbals back in the day. That was part of our culture. But having worked with him, he's a funny guy, he's a stand-up guy. I think the majority of footballers are, Dan, to be honest. I think when you ask footballers what are your ex-teammates and ex-professionals like that you played against, 99% of footballers, they're all good lads. You get the odd bad egg, like Craig Burley, but the majority of them are stand-up lads.
They all end up in America. Come over here. Who are your best friends from football, Shaka?
Well, other than players I play with the national team, Ian Pearce, who I played with at West Ham. Actually, I spoke to Pearce the other day, actually. So I'm still in touch with him. Steve Watson up at Newcastle, a couple of Newcastle guys. But I was closest to Ian Pearce.
We know what Don's answer is going to be, aren't we, Shaq?
Frank Lampard,
yeah, Jody Morris.
Me and Frank, we still chew the fat. Yeah. We still chew the fat, me and Frank. Every Friday.
The other day.
Every Friday.
Mm-hmm. Shaka, what do you think about the artificial crowd noise used in the Dortmund match today? We've discussed this before, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. And as I said before, I like it.
Yeah.
I got it totally wrong. When it was proposed, I was like, that don't make any kind of sense. That's not going to change anything that happens in the stadium. And I know those noises aren't coming through in the stadium. It's just the viewer. But I also said that as a viewer, I don't think it would make any kind of difference. And I hold my hands up. I got that totally wrong. I love it.
Have you seen the La Liga game yet, Shaq?
No.
They've superimposed the crowd onto the seats. And it works as well.
Does it?
Yeah, you wouldn't think that would work either, but it does.
Okay.
Do you think Pogba and Bruno Fernandes will be able to successfully play together in a midfield, or would one of them be sitting out, Don?
Oh, I think together. I mean, I'm not Paul Pogba's biggest fan. I was when he was at Juve, and I still think the guy's got immense talent. But when I hear the term world-class to me is when a player's performing every single week or every other week and he is winning trophies and he is carrying his side and he's performing at the elite level. I've not really seen too much of that. I've seen it in glimpses, but I've not seen enough of it in a Man United shirt. But Bruno Fernandes looks to me like the complete midfield player. And he might just, and this pandemic might have settled Paul Pogba down. It might be a bit of grounding for him. He might realise actually how much football means to him. And when he comes back, his appetite might be better than it was before. So let's hope he starts producing, because, you know, you look at midfield pairings around the Premier League and pairings around Europe. On their day, I mean, there wouldn't be a better two than that, probably.
Shaka, who's the best goalkeeper in the Premier League since 1992, or since it started?
Well, you know what I'm going to go for.
I'm going to say Peter Schmeichel.
Of course I am.
Right, we should just use that as well from the archives.
Yeah, exactly. But can I just ask something here quickly, Dan? Is that a Balenciaga t-shirt that Don is wearing?
It might be, Shaq. It might be.
For a player who's not played 100 games for anybody, that you sure have expensive taste, Mr. Hutchinson.
Well, you just, you know, I took the money, Shaq. I moved on. I played 99 games and I went somewhere else.
I've never heard of this. Who is this brand? What's happened?
Balenciaga.
How's this brand getting a mention?
Is this posh, is it? Can we get some?
It is very posh.
Is it?
Balenciaga is very posh.
Hey, I tell you what, if you follow Don on Insta, he does like to name drop the old companies. Thank you, BMW, for this. Thank you, restaurant down the road for that.
Yeah.
I'm not shy.
Oh, I'm clearly with a Balenciaga t-shirt. You need to look that up, Dan, I'm telling you.
Really?
Listen, there's a saying in Gateshead, shy Ben's getting out. If you don't ask, you don't get.
Final question. What was your worst single performance in a match? Well, it's going to be here for a long time. Normally it would go around the 99th game mark for Don, whichever club he was at. Right, worst performance, Shaq.
All right. That is a bit where it would come up a couple of times. My worst single performance, Don and I were talking about this, the 4-4 against Charlton for West Ham. The worst goal I conceded was also against Charlton for Portsmouth. So Charlton kind of feature heavily in my not-so-good memories.
I've just looked up Balenciaga sneakers. Crikey O'Reilly.
Exactly. Yeah. You see what I mean?
Can't afford them.
That's why you got the
t-shirt.
Wait, the t-shirt's $400, Don. What have you been doing?
See? You want to join the dad?
What?
This one's not.
Goodness me.
This whole thing I'm wearing here.
That's Stevie's whole wardrobe.
Outlet. Over his life. You can pick them up cheap. I don't know where you guys are shopping.
Yeah. goodness me.
Worst single performance, Don.
Well, it was the 4-4 that Shaka played in, but then there was a classic match on TV the other day. And I don't know if you guys remember the game when Tony Adams scored for Arsenal against Everton, the penultimate game of the season. And I had an absolute stinker. I should have got a straight red for snapping Patrick Vieira when the red mist had come down. I got away with that. The referee said play on, no card. Then I went through, I think, another Arsenal player, I can't remember who it was, in central midfield, might have been Ray Parlour. And then, right towards the end, in the second half, my head was completely off, and I'd done the worst ever tackle on Emmanuel Petit, and the referee gave me a yellow, and it's a 12-match ban these days, wow. And my head was just completely off for the whole of the 90 minutes. I had a shocker.
Probably gave the referee some t-shirts before the game or something. Some sort of bribe. That is it then. Thank you very much. Thank you, Don. Maybe you could, instead of buying t-shirts, get some earpods next time. That'd be nice.
Yeah, shall I? Yeah, I'll contact them. I'll tweet them.
Get some Balenciaga. Get some Balenciaga earpods.
That's it, gents. Thank you very much. More of this nonsense tomorrow. Be sure to join us.